Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O holy and gracious God, we pray that you would quiet the thoughts of our busy and frazzled and distracted minds, and that you would open our hearts to receive your word for us this day. For you are our light and our salvation. Amen. So all week, this past week, I was the camp pastor at Mount Shepherd Retreat Center, which is our Methodist camp here in the URI district. And I've done it the past 3 years, and I always look forward to it. I love being with the kids. Because kids come to camp from all sorts of backgrounds. Especially the staff this year has done a really great job of being intentional about reaching out to all different kinds of people. Their staff is even really international. There's a staff person from Scotland, from Africa, from the Dominican Republic, people from all over, young people from all over the world came to work at Mount Shepherd. It's truly a very diverse community. The campers, they come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, races, ethnicities, different levels of faith and exposure to faith and church. For some kids that come to camp, their week at camp is the only exposure they get to the gospel all year long. Kids get to be, this is my favorite part, is that kids get to be whoever they are fully at camp. And all of their silliness, all of their awkwardness, all of that is welcomed and encouraged at camp. And since everyone is there for camp, right, nobody's wearing fancy clothes, so they can't make judgments to each other based on their fashion or design, as young people like to do oftentimes. But they're all experiencing the same things. Kids are put on kind of the same level. So all kids, they truly belong at camp. I shared a message with the camp on the first night, which was Sunday, last Sunday. But it wasn't until Thursday, until after I got to spend time with them, just getting to know them and hopefully made them feel loved and accepted, that I began to feel like they were open to hearing about how much God loved them. For kids, and for so many of us, we have to feel like we truly belong. There has to be a relationship, essentially, right? Before they can hear the gospel and then come to believe. Camp is a great example of a place that does belonging and inclusion right. And if only the church were more like summer camp. I understand that you all have been doing a sermon series on the BUMC campaign, which focuses on the four things that describe what the United Methodist Church is all about. And today I have the privilege of sharing with you about the key element of belonging and inclusion. And with this key element, it means that to be United Methodist, we celebrate that we are part of a church of different backgrounds, opinions, and gifts. That we are a church that affirms the wholeness of everyone. That we are committed to dismantling racism. And that we are a church that is diverse and where I am not expected to like everyone else. But let's look and see how these core values originate from Scripture, which brings us to the Scripture that you heard Glenn read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In here, in this text, you heard Paul emphasizing the importance of honoring the different parts and functions of the body, and how each part is needed and necessary. How the hand belongs just as much as the heart belongs. This is a message that we desperately need today when it feels like we are more divided over all of our varying differences and opinions. One of the reasons for this is that we often, one of the reasons we're so divided is we often put God in a box of our own understanding. Right? If we can't understand it, it doesn't belong. That God can only act and can only be like what we know of God. And God has to act only in a way that makes sense to us. It's like there's a set of rules or standards that we've kind of set that God cannot go beyond, which leaves no room for mystery, and in some cases makes faith unnecessary. But if Jesus taught us anything, it's that God can't be put in a box. Any time in my life I thought I had figured God out, God would surprise me and show up in some unexpected way or surprise me with grace. You see, the Israelites, they thought God existed within the parameters that were set by the law of the Old Testament. But then Jesus came along and showed a new expression of the law and broke all the boundaries and barriers. In the Old Testament, there were all these rules about not mixing with people of other religions or cultures. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus reaching beyond all those boundaries. And we see Paul and the other apostles take the gospel message to people beyond their circles. And if we were to read beyond verse 20 of this passage, we would hear Paul talk about how you simply can't write off parts of the body that are different from us. And that because we are the body of Christ, we are part of each other. Not only that, but that we need each other. We need all the differences. We need to include everyone. Now, it's really hard to think of ourselves as being in need of others, of being dependent on others, because we're such an independent society. But the fact is that we are interdependent and incomplete even without those who might think differently than us or even approach their faith in Christ a little bit differently. One theologian and church leader named Deb Hirsch once said at a conference that I was attending that each people group has a secret about God that is not known outside the relationship. I'm going to say that again. Each people group has a secret about God that is not known outside the relationship. That's a profound statement that has stuck with me for many years, maybe because it resonates so much with my own experience. Each person, where they come from, the traditions they have, their cultural background and life experiences, tells us something different about God that we would not know otherwise, simply because our culture and upbringing would be different. And this has made me personally all the more curious and eager to meet different people, so that I can gradually get a more complete picture of who God is. Now, for some people, this can seem really threatening, and I get that, right? If that's you, though, I would encourage you to think of this as a part of the beauty of who God is. You see, someone else's experience doesn't make yours null and void, or even less than. It's just different. And that's okay. The intent is to expand our conceptions of who God is. Maybe we once thought that God was this big, But after experiencing God through the eyes of others, we see that God is even more than that, even bigger than we thought. Each part of the body is necessary, which means you are necessary. Not more necessary, but just as necessary as those who don't look, act, think, or function the same as you. It means you belong, I belong, we belong. But let's be honest. We're more comfortable when we surround ourselves with people who are like us, who think like us. We kind of naturally gravitate toward those areas. And so what happens is we end up being siloed off in our sameness and our likeness, creating maybe even unintentionally these exclusive environments. Because like-mindedness, it's easy. And dare I say, maybe a little lazy. Because it doesn't require much of us to be surrounded by people who are just like us. It doesn't require much of us. Being inclusive of all people is harder. Because what it requires of us are things like humility, empathy, compassion, vulnerability, qualities that some might say are weaknesses, but these are the qualities of a Christ follower. Here's the thing, you all probably know this, every being that has breath was made in the image and likeness of God, which means that people of all ages, nations, and races reflect a piece of who God is and what God is like. None of us alone has a complete picture of God. And in the United Methodist Church, we know this to be true. And so we seek to be an inclusive church where all people truly belong so that all might have an opportunity to experience the love of Christ in a way that translates to them and their experiences. You see, we need each other and we belong to each other. So understanding belonging is crucial in order for us to live out our faith authentically. And one of my favorite researchers, authors, speakers is Brené Brown. Some of you may have heard of her. But she talks beautifully about the difference between belonging and fitting in. She defines belonging as an innate human desire to be a part of something larger than us. Belonging is this innate desire to be a part of something larger than us. And because this yearning for belonging is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and seeking the approval of others. And fitting in often requires us to change who we are. In middle school and high school, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers, they'll often change their clothes, their hair, who they hang out with, in order to feel like they belong. But that is not true belonging. In fact, fitting in is a barrier to true belonging. Fitting in requires us to change who we are, and belonging allows us to be who we are. Fitting in requires us to change who we are, and belonging allows us to be who we are. And belonging is what we are after in the United Methodist Church, because that is on the journey to transformation. People have to feel like they can be who they are before they can be open to receive the transforming message of the gospel. But this requires a lot of us in order to create an atmosphere hospitable to belonging as opposed to just fitting in. Belonging, you see, requires vulnerability. Belonging requires us to get uncomfortable and learn how to simply be present with people without sacrificing who we are or expecting others to sacrifice who they are. It's an opportunity. So this is an opportunity for us as a church to think about, for you all to think about. Are we an environment that is intentional about creating a space of true belonging? Or have we, without even realizing it, become a place where you have to fit in first? It takes some critical thought to distinguish between the two and if our words match our actions. The founder of our denomination, John Wesley, and actually this is quoted in, I was glad to see this, that Craig had included this in the bulletin. You see it says there, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion. Without all doubt, we may. Herein, all the children of God may unite, notwithstanding these smaller differences. The United Methodist Church is a global church. And that means we share in ministry together. But it also means that we are vastly different from one another in so many ways. I have met Methodists in Central America, South America, Africa, Europe. And in no two places is everything like it is here. It can't be, and it won't be, simply because of our different cultures and upbringings. But in each of the places that I've had the privilege of being in the world, I've experienced true belonging, and thus experienced the fullness of our shared faith in Christ, which also united us. One time I was on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. Our team worshiped at a local church one Sunday. It was very different from what I was used to in a very tame, calm, you know, worship setting like this. And while there was a translator sitting close to me, they weren't close enough to where I could understand really what was going on in the worship service. And I really had no idea what the pastor was saying the entire time until the pastor got behind the table and lifted the bread and lifted the cup. And in that moment, I knew exactly what he was saying. I realized we speak the same language after all. The shared language of this is my body, this is my blood. It's the shared language of sacrifice, of love, and of grace. Experiencing this kind of diversity has made me love our global church and the variety of opinions and thoughts even more. It's expanded my understanding of God and how God exists in the world. It's made me more compassionate, more empathetic Christ follower. I am United Methodist because we are so diverse and because there is no expectation that we all be alike, that we are included, that all are included and welcomed to the communion table, that all are seen as children of God first. I love being able to learn from others and how they have come to read the scriptures, even if it's different from my own understanding. I love being able to share my own story. However, I would not feel this way if I had not put myself in situations where I was forced into a relationship with someone different than me, and had I not experienced belonging myself. You see, it is truly transformative to be seen for who you are and where you are with no expectation of changing. From an early age, we are taught to fit in. And for some people, it's traumatizing. It's so ingrained in us that it's hard to unlearn. And so imagine how freeing, how redemptive, how saving it can be to be seen and loved as you are for someone like that, without an ulterior motive, without a hidden agenda. This ministry of belonging is the most powerful ministry that we can offer to another, to welcome and to love people, to offer them a seat at the table, and to let God then take care of the rest, because God is in the business of saving, not us. This message of welcome without limitations, this is the message of Jesus. Because there was something about the holiness of Jesus that made him a magnet for sinners and outcasts. And there is something about the holiness of Christians today that repels people. And we must consider what that is. So it's time, church, that we reclaim the habits of Jesus that never turned a single person away, that ate with the people that were deemed unholy, unclean, unworthy, that saw people as people first, saw them in their need, that met people completely where they were, that offered a place for people to truly belong. And we see time and time again in the Gospels that every time Jesus did that, a light turned on. These former sinners or outcasts would become evangelists for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because they were seen for where they are and who they are. And they felt accepted and as they belonged. If we turn to God and reclaim these aspects of Jesus, I believe we will experience new life in the church. So let us celebrate the belonging and the inclusion that you have experienced that's brought you here today, and offer the same to our neighbors in desperate need of it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.